Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency.
Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in. I hope you all are having a great day. On today's show, we have Volume 3 of Gangbusters. Join the police force as you see their day-to-day struggles against the gangs of their city. If you enjoy this episode, please check out Volumes 1 and 2. As always, it would be great if you could follow, rate, and review the show. Check out the descriptions for links for everything in regards to the show. And feel free to leave a comment. And with that, enjoy this episode.
Gangbusters, police, the G-Men, our government agents, marching against the underworld.
Tonight, the case of the Wolverine, a shrinking, shadowy figure who stole out of the raging blizzards of the North Country to spread terror and destruction. That's tonight's Gangbusters.
Picture our setting as the special office turned over to Gangbusters by Commissioner Lewis J. Valentine of the New York City Police for a proxy interview between Colonel H. Norman Schwarzkopf, United States Army, and Tim Curran, former sheriff, Delta County, Michigan. Colonel Schwarzkopf.
I understand tonight's case has a very unusual setting, Sheriff Curran.
Yes, Mr. Schwarzkopf.
The desert North Woods on the upper peninsula of the state of Michigan. And it was out of the swirling blizzards of this region that the criminal known as the Wolverine struck.
When I hear you mention blizzards, Colonel Schwarzkopf, my ears go right up.
Hi, Frank.
Well, blizzards, cold, and rain make up what I call Sloan's liniment weather. And this winter, with fuel so carefully rationed, it's going to make heavier demands than ever on your bottle of reliable Sloan's liniment. So be prepared, as families the world over have prepared themselves during the past 50 years. Always have a bottle of Sloan's liniment handy. Sloan's, you know, takes only a jiffy to apply, and usually brings you quick and comforting relief in almost no time at all. No painful rubbing or massaging. Just pat Sloan's on that sore place and relax for a few minutes. You'll actually feel Sloan's go to work like a heat treatment, which seems to soothe the tightness and tiredness right out of that aching muscle. Don't let winter catch you unprepared. Ask your favorite druggist for a bottle of Sloan's liniment tomorrow. Now, Colonel, what about the blizzard you were discussing?
Well, Sheriff Curran, where and when does the case of the Wolverine begin?
Late one cold winter's night near the town of Gross, Michigan. A fur trapper, Pierre DeGan, and his dog trotted through the heavy snowdrift toward the shack of another isolated trapper, John Charles. It was beginning to snow heavily. A blizzard was setting in.
But soon we warm up at this house place, huh? There she is, my girl. The delight to the pantry. But Mr. Charles be surprised to see us after all this month. Come on, boy. Mr. Charles. Says, you wouldn't go out and leave the latch on. Maybe something wrong.
Look at that. The door seems to be open by itself.
Come on, boy. We go in and see. Yes, sir.
Sticking your nose in here at the wrong time. Now you can die there with your dog.
Situation, North West Canal, the Sea Line Railroad Station.
Fred, that
you? Yes, who are you talking to?
Here's the girl. Fred.
Yeah?
There is bad trouble. Charles
has
been bitten and robbed in his cabin.
What's that you say?
And the gunman, he killed my dog.
What?
And tried to kill me.
Good luck. Pierre, you saw this gunman, did you? Was he a big fellow with a black mask and a green mackinaw?
Yes, but now you know, Fred.
That's the same killer robbed me here at the station the other night. The Wolverine. Told about 10 robberies he did. Pierre, did you call Sheriff Tim?
Well, Sheriff Tim don't answer the telephone. That is why I call you.
Yeah, all right, Pierre. I'll get the sheriff, Chris. I'll call him back right now.
No, you won't put down that phone.
Hello?
How did you get
it? Put it down.
What were you?
You didn't expect me back again, did you? I want that cash box. That's just a little taste of what I'll give you. Get me the cash box.
Here. Here's the cash box.
There better be more money in it than last time. Not bad. Not bad at all. 9:30, Fred. Right on time to pick me up. Now, Pop, you get yours.
You keep your hands off of me.
You gotta call that two big shows, eh? Here's what I think of shows. Checking on some police reports.
Kirsten, this case has me deadbeat.
You're right.
No wonder they call him the Wolverine. Seems to have an animal's instinct to avoid every trap we've set.
Now, let's do a little reasoning, Detective Ross. The Wolverine is no stranger to these North Michigan woods.
Mm-hmm.
Notice his cunning in heading for the railroad tracks after he told us.
Yes.
It prevents our tracking his footprints through the snow. All he has to do is hop a freight. The trail is lost.
Well, I certainly hope our new plan works, Sheriff Tim. Got those people are afraid to go out nights, barricading their doors, thinking each sound they hear is the Wolverine stealing up on them.
If our first plan doesn't work for us, the second plan may. You know your assignment?
Yes, Sheriff. Stand guard at the North Escanaba Railroad Station every night.
Good. Chief Croswell will have men watching the other station. It may take nights of watching, but this time, if the Wolverine returns, we'll be ready for him.
Johnson expect that thing to ring. Sheriff's the only one knows I'm here. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Well, who is it? Who is it?
I was just wondering, Detective Ross, if you were lonely down there at North Escanaba.
Who is it? Whoever you are, if you got anything to say, you better say it. Hello?
You should have been watching the railroad station up at Gladstone, Detective. I just dropped it. I thought I'd let you know.
Hello? Okay, brother, so the joke's on me, eh? Well, maybe not. You don't know about the other trap the sheriff set. And You've just swallowed it. Hook, line, and sinker.
This case gets more interesting all the time, Sheriff Cohen. I know our gangbusters listeners are anxious to know what this second trap was.
I know that I, for one, am most interested, Colonel Schwartzkopf, because I've been advising our gangbusters audience for a long time to set a few traps of their own. Traps that will catch muscular aches and pains in time to prevent needless suffering. It's very simple. First, guard against overexertion, accidents, and overexposure to raw weather. Second, if muscular distress does strike, despite all your precautions, apply Sloan's liniment at once. Third, be prepared. Always have a bottle of Sloan's liniment on your medicine shelf. The sooner you pat on Sloan's liniment, the sooner you can expect the quick and comforting relief for which Sloan's is so famous. And how welcome that relief is to you men who come in stiff and sore from your jobs, or you youngsters with your football Charlie horses and roller skating bruises. Yes, even to you mothers, who often feel that a day's washing and cleaning has seemed to tie your muscles into knots. All you have to do is pat Sloan's on that aching back or stiff shoulder, and almost immediately you'll feel that gentle and penetrating warmth acting like a heat treatment to smooth out the kinks and miseries in those painful muscles. Remember, it's best to be prepared. Ask your druggist for Sloan's liniment next time you're shopping in his store. Well, Colonel, that's the kind of trap I've been setting. What about the trap we hope is going to close on the Wolverine?
Well, Sheriff Cohen, you told us how the Wolverine robbed the railroad station at Gladstone, Michigan, while the authorities were guarding the station at North Escanaba.
But without knowing it, the Wolverine fell into a carefully set police trap, Colonel Schwartzkopf. It took a little while for the trap to develop. But 3 days later, the parade was beginning to close. In Nick's small lunchroom on Main Street in Escanaba, Michigan, at exactly 14 minutes to wait in the morning.
Hey, Nick, how about a check for the food? Let me get out of here.
Oh, sure thing, Mr. Pence. Let's see, you wait for 60, 70, 85 cents, Mr. Pence.
Okay, Nick, here's a dollar. Get the change.
Oh, thank you.
So long.
Goodbye. He's a very fine man, P.A. You want any more coffee, P.A.?
Who is that, Nick?
Oh, that was a Joe Pence. And do you know him, P.A.?
Oh. Seem like I heard that voice someplace.
Oh, monsieur, so Mr. Pern used to live in Escanaba till 2 years ago, Pierre. But he moved out west to buy a ranch. Now he come back for a little while. I wish I had his money. If I had all of Mr. Pern's money, Pierre, I wouldn't slave in a lunch cart like this.
No wonder you don't have his money, Nick. Look what you are doing.
What am I doing? Send the money here. What do you know? I roll up a dollar bill again with a paper napkin and then throw it away. That's the good one out of me, all right. Throw away dollar bills. I better put in the cash register. That's the good one. Me throw dollar bill away.
Then, at 9 o'clock that night, Colonel.
I'm so excited at Super Crosswell. I rushed right over here to your police office. Super Crosswell, don't you see? This dollar bill that I make a mistake about and roll up into my napkin. She's the one of the stolen money from Gladstone Railroad Station. There's the mark on the front of it, like the one on the stock.
Now, easy, Nick. Calm down.
Yeah,
this is one of the marked bills, all right, but, Nick, when the Wolverine robbed the Gladstone Station, he had no idea he was stealing marked money.
Oh.
But he was. He had every bill in the Gladstone Station marked. And this dollar bill certainly has our marking on it.
Well, you told me, Chief Creswell, to watch all the bills for that little mark on it. I do it. I see the mark on that dollar.
You say it was Joe Pern who gave you this dollar, Nick?
Absolutely, Chief Creswell. Positively, without the moral perception. This morning in my lunch room, he gave it to me. I remember well, I started to roll it up into my napkin and throw it away, but Pierre the gun, he was there, isn't he? And he saw me almost to throw it away.
I wonder where Pern's got it. I noticed Pern's back in town, Nick. I understand he bought a ranch out west.
Monsieur, but I ain't saying that Mr. Pern stole this money, Chief Crosswell. I'm just saying that Mr. Pern gave it to me. Maybe somebody else could give it to Mr. Pern.
Well, you did a good job spotting it, Nick. It's the first mark bill that's turned up.
Pretty good eyes to see an old man, eh? When I give it to my cash register, I get so excited, I knock over 2 ketchup bottles.
Yeah. Well, I know the hotel Mr. Pern's stopping at. I think I'll drop over there and see what he can tell me about this dollar bill.
Yes? Who Chief Croswell.
Police.
Oh, just a minute. Hello, Mr. Perrins. I heard you were back in town.
Well, I was wondering if you had any idea where you picked it up.
Oh, I see. Where I picked it up.
Yeah.
I know, Chief. I'm afraid I can't help you. I might have gotten it anywhere.
Well, can you think where you changed any bills? You may even have more than a mark's money on you. Take a look in your wallet.
My wallet?
What?
Oh, yeah. I have it right here in my back pocket.
Hey. What's the idea of that gun, Perrins?
As I hear, didn't know, copper. Turn around and watch out that closet in the corner. Come on.
So, you're the Wolverine.
Move or I'll plug you.
Yeah. I know you will.
Pretty clever, marking that money, Chief. But I won't help you now. Open that closet door, Chief. Now, get it. Get your arm in the dirt. Don't
close, eh? I'll fix your arm up. Now, wise guy. Nuts, I forgot his gun. I better plant.
No, you don't, Paris. Tell me you're a shoot. Good job. Going right through that balcony window.
A quick search of the alley tunnel showed where Parent had landed. There were bloodstains in the snow. Chief Croswell, following the stains and seeing that they led toward the railroad tracks, hurried back to headquarters and rounded up all available men.
All right, men. Now get lanterns and flashlights. Bloodstains leading toward the tracks. I checked for the railroad and there's no train passing through. This time we got the Wolverine in the open.
Oh, we'll
you'll be ready to swear in more deputies if we need them.
I'll let you know.
Right, you, sir.
Okay, men. Everyone set?
All right.
I will spread out and cover the railroad track. Come on, let's go.
All right. All right. All
right.
The trail led along the railroad for half a mile, Colonel, and then branched off into heavy brush and woodland, where the venture was lost. Then, just before midnight, a report came that footprints, evidently apparent, had been seen entering the forest 4 miles to the east. Chief Croswell and Pierre Degan, whose dog Parent had killed, and who since had been deputized, were nearest the spot and picked up the trail. It was 18 below zero. Snow falling heavily.
Chief Croswell, you know he is forced so fast to flat out Parent's footmark.
Well, we've got to hurry, Pierre. Looks like he's heading for Big Turk Lake and the railroad beyond. I got the best trapper in the state, Pierre. If anybody can trail him, you can.
Yes, we got to be careful, Chief Roswell. The army wait in ambush and kill before we see him.
That,
huh?
Something moving over there by those bushes.
That is just another of those gray devils. They ever bunch together in wolf pack, Chief Croswell. We be in one tough, but...
Yeah. Well, let's go on.
What colour? Stop.
There is something up ahead this time.
Yeah. They shacked just back at the street.
That's probably why Perrin headed this way. To get to that shack. Out of the wind. We sneak up the right side window. Careful now.
See anything?
No. Looks empty inside.
We'll try the door.
My leg! Put the door
through!
My leg is broke! The door of the trap is going right into my leg!
Okay, Pierre. I'll see if I can tie the trap open.
It's giving a little. Can you
put your...
Leg out! Little big boy, please!
Yes! That's not it! Legs ripped to pieces!
That devil, Baron, set his trap! Baron knew he was running in, he set the trap in front of the door!
Here, get your arm around my neck! I'll have you inside the shack!
For so long, he will get away!
Well, I've got to fix you first, Pierre! You'll die if I leave you here.
If he snows, he will block out our tracks, Chief Croswell. He will get away.
Well, I'm afraid of that, but right now it's your life we got to worry about. Come on, put your arm on me.
That was a very unusual accident, Sheriff Kern. The police actually being stopped by a bear trap.
Yes, Colonel Schwarzkopf. And it enabled Kern to escape. Alarms were flashed out. And late the next day, word came that a man answering Kern's description had been seen near the railroad station at Champion. Sheriff Tim and Detective Ross left for Champion immediately.
Sheriff Tim, I guess there's no sense hanging around this railroad station any longer. That must have beat it when he saw the station agent and spotted him.
Yeah. What I'm afraid of, Detective Ross, is that Dad will hop a train and head for the Canadian border.
But there are no more trains out of here tonight, Sheriff.
No, but there is a 10:30 train. Leave from over at Astoria tonight.
Sheriff Tim, we should never get over there in time. It's 10:05 now, and Astoria is 11 miles away.
We've got to make it in time.
But how?
There's only one possible way. Are you out there on the railroad siding?
The hand car, Sheriff Tim?
Yes. That's our only chance. We've got to pump that hand car and get to Astoria before the train does.
Holy smokes.
Come on, there's no time to lose. Every second counts. That's good to take the rest.
Pump it. This is the first time I've ever pumped a hand car, Sheriff Tim. My hand's broke. Keep pumping.
That mighty force will be cutting up on us any minute now. I've gone after criminals a good many ways, but never before on a hand car.
The timing overtakes us while we're on this track a little bit. Done, Mr. Sheriff.
Faster.
Get what is going now. We haven't a chance.
We've got to get across this cliff. Stop him.
Make it. We're almost there. I can see the engine lights right back of us.
There, we did it. We're out. Get up there to dump this hand car off the tracks of the train. We'll be right. Come on.
These days, when every pair of hands count, that's important.
And that's the reason so many men make sure to keep a bottle of Sloan's liniment on the job with them, as well as on the medicine shelf at home. Because Sloan's is the pat-on liniment. All you need is a few minutes during a rest period or your lunch hour to apply it to that sore and aching muscle. Like a heat treatment, Sloan's will be helping to bring you quick and comforting relief while you work. Just pat Sloan's on. That's all there is to it. So tonight or tomorrow, on your way home from work, drop in at the convenient drugstore and get a bottle of dependable Sloan's liniment to keep in your locker. You'll find Sloan a real friend in need when you want relief in a hurry. And now, Gangbusters presents its nationwide cruise of criminals still at large.
Wanted for questioning, murder, man described as 70, about 5 feet 8 inches, 160 pounds, thinning gray hair, parted left side, thinning gray hair, parted left side, gray-brown eyes with prominent crow's feet, gray-brown eyes with prominent crow's feet, no teeth, refers to himself as yours truly, man of 70, gray hair parted on left side, crow's feet around eyes, refers to himself as yours truly, man fitting this description, sought for questioning concerning murder by Sheriff's Office, Port Orchard, Washington.
Charged with bank robbery, George Thompson, 32, 6 feet, 1 quarter inch, 155 pounds, hair dark, combed back, long nose, deformed, slopes to right side, long nose, deformed, slopes to right side, long neck with prominent Adam's apple, long neck with prominent Adam's apple, large hands, walk very erect, never wears hat, likes to play cards, never wears hat, likes to play cards, man, 32, tall, slim, nose sloping to right, long neck with prominent Adam's apple, man fitting this description, wanted for questioning, bank robbery, Katona, New York.
Charged with violation National Motor Vehicle Theft Act, Edward Hendrickson, 42, 5 feet 9 inches, 165 pounds, heavy black hair, dark eyes, scar over right eye, scar right cheek, scar left front chin, mole left cheek, nose turns up at end, nose turns up at end, gold cap upper front tooth, gold cap upper front tooth, tip left index finger amputated, tip left index finger amputated, neat dresser, likes to play golf, bridge.
If you have any information concerning these clues, notify your local police, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. And now here's what Philip H. Lord has planned for next week.
Gangbusters, friends, for Sloan's liniment next week, we're going to take you behind the scenes as a modern police department unravels a series of baffling incidents. Learn how the police found a paper matchbox, an umbrella, and an antifreeze tag. Hear how these small articles set the police on the trail of an infamous gang and the startling climax.
You won't want to miss one second of next week's gripping Sloan's liniment presentation of Gangbusters. Gangbusters is a Philip H. Lord production which has originated in New York.
Most tax pros leave a message. It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
The Military Police Corps of the United States Army is celebrating its 12th anniversary. To tell us about tonight's gangbusters case is the Chief of Operations, Operations and Enforcement Branch of the Office of the Provost Marshal General, Lieutenant Colonel Harley Moore, who supervises military police operations all over the world. And here, especially transcribed for gangbusters, is Colonel Moore.
Thank you, and good evening, gangbusters listeners. Throughout the world, the uniformed military policeman of the American Army has become a familiar sight. His trim uniform, bearing, and conduct are models for soldiers everywhere. His job in the Army compares to that of the uniformed civilian policeman: to maintain order, direct military traffic, guard important installations, prevent crime, and give assistance and service wherever he can. Within the Army's Military Police Corps, there are also specialists who perform functions similar to those of detectives of a city police force. These are called criminal investigators. It is their duty, under the supervision of their local provost marshal, to investigate crimes against Army personnel and property, and to apprehend fugitives in this connection. This case tonight shows, in part, the work of these important specialists, and it began one summer night, a year or so ago, on the outskirts of a small town in Iowa. A very low-grade carnival was playing a one-night stand to so-so business, and the talkers at the various attractions were straining their lungs, drumming up trade. The only fair-sized crowd was gathered in front of Gay Paree, the carnival's girly show, where the outside talker was making his pitch to the crowd.
On the inside of Gay Paree in a very few minutes. Yes, sir, the spectacle you've been witnessing outside here is only a sample, a very small sample of what's going to start on the inside of Gay Paree in just a few minutes. You're going to see the five most gorgeous, lovely girls west of Broadway and east of Hollywood. And there's still a few seats left inside the tent. You've been watching our little Josette give you that sample, our sweet little Josette. Take a bow, Josette.
Thank you.
Hey, you. Stay off the balustrade, pal. This is for employees only. Right over here, the best quarter you ever spent. Mister, I said stay off the balustrade.
I'm the sheriff of the county.
Oh, well, we run a clean extravaganza here, Sheriff. Pure and simple. Witness the show with my confidence.
I'm not here for that. I want to talk to you.
Well, I'm giving my pitch, Sheriff.
I want to talk to you anyway.
If you want to talk, Sheriff, you'll talk, but just a second. All right, man. Josette will give you one more little segment of what you'll see inside the Gay Paree. Give him that segment, Josette, but not too much now. Hit it, Professor!
Now, what can I do for you, Sheriff? You got a fellow named Hale working around here?
Hale? Not that I know of.
The big boss said you had a Ralph Hale over there.
Oh, Ralph! I never knew Hale was his other name. Yes, he's our electrician, handyman, stagehand, and general factotum around here.
Where is he now?
Well, I'll take you to him. Give me a minute to get this crowd inside, will you?
Okay, take your minute.
Well, I'll be right with you. Well, that's enough of a segment, Josette. That's enough now. Now, don't you take it easy, boys. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, little Josette is going to go back inside the tent with the other girls, and she's going to get ready for the big performance of the Gay Paree show that starts in just another moment. Now, go on, Josette.
The inside, everybody.
Come on.
I'm on in 2 minutes. Ralph?
What?
Ralph, you better go.
I better go where? Will you get ready for the show,
Josette? Ralph, the sheriff is outside looking for you.
The sheriff? Well, thanks, babe.
No, not that way. He's coming in that way.
Well, how?
Through the girls' dressing tent this way.
Listen, help me, Josie. Help me get away from
you. I will. Everything will be all right. Now, wait. Okay, it's all right. The girls are out waiting to go on.
Okay. All right, close it. Close it flat.
Sure. Now go on, Ralph. You can sneak out that way and write to me, will you? Please write to me.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure. Hey, wait a minute, Josie.
You better hurry.
Now listen, Josie, have you got any money?
Well, I haven't got very much. I got only about $250.
Oh, well, look, baby, can I borrow $200? You'll get it back, every cent back.
But it's in a savings bank, in Chicago.
Oh.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Ralph. You know I'd let you have it. But you'll be all right. Everything will be fine.
Listen, Josie, leave the show and come to Chicago with me, will you?
Ralph, I can't do that. They need me.
Oh, what do you want to stay with a lousy rundown outfit like this for? Come out of Chicago. We'll have a real time, you and me.
But, gee, Ralph, I don't know. It's not right to leave like that without notice.
What do you think they'd give you notice? Look, I'm going to Alex's trail. I'm going to get my stuff. And then I'm going to hitchhike over to Sioux City. There's 3 or 4 buses out of there for Chicago a night. I'll wait in the bus station for you. The bus station in Sioux City.
Ralph, I can't. You know how I feel about you, but I can't.
I'll be waiting for you in the bus station.
Ralph.
I need you there, Josie. I need you. Now, you pull out of here as soon as they tear down the show tonight. All right?
All right. I'll meet you in the bus station.
Well, that was how this fugitive made his escape. He was, as we shall see, an army deserter. In addition to that violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he was also sought for the burglary of the residences of 2 non-commissioned officers on the military reservation at Fort Meade, Maryland, when he was stationed there. At midnight that night, in the headquarters of the 5th Army Military Police Criminal Investigation Detachment in Chicago, 1st Sergeant Edward P. Ellis, on duty in that office, had just dialed the telephone number.
Major Landry, please.
Speaking.
Oh, this is Sergeant Ellis, sir. Sorry to disturb you at home.
Now, that's all right. What is it, Sergeant?
We just got a wire, sir. A reply from that sheriff in Iowa.
Did he get him?
No, sir.
Oh. Now, what'd the wire say?
Says Major Robert L. Landry, 5th Army Military Police Criminal Investigation Detachment, Chicago. Information good, but missed Ralph Hale, wanted by your office. Hale fled while I was on Carnival Lot to make arrest.
Well, that's that, I guess.
Yes, sir. No information regarding present whereabouts.
All right, Sergeant. Send a wire back to the sheriff over my name and thank him.
Yes, sir.
We'll get him, Sergeant. I want you to catch up with that carnival and see what kind of information you can turn up. Somebody around there ought to know where he was heading.
When shall I leave, sir?
I'll come into the office and we can talk it over. You can leave tonight.
Cheer up, will you, Josie? Plenty for you to do in Chicago. You can get a job 10 minutes after the bus pulls.
Look, I'm not worried about that, Ralph. I shouldn't have left the show like that without notice. Where are they going to find another girl in the middle of Iowa like
Look,
that?
Look, worry about yourself a little bit instead of other people, will you?
I'm just that way, that's all.
Well, if you got to worry about somebody else, you worry about me.
Look, I am worried about you. You don't have to tell me to worry about you.
I'll be all right. As long as I have a little bit of dough to get settled on and look around. Now, are you sure you got that money in the bank in Chicago, huh?
Yeah, I
got it. You got your bank book with you?
I got that, too.
Okay.
Ralph.
Hmm?
What did that sheriff want to talk to you for? Exactly, I mean.
Oh, I've been in a little trouble.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, exactly. After all, I left the show. I'm going to Chicago with you, giving me that money. I'm entitled to know.
Well, how much do you think a guy can make roughnecking around a small-time show like that? I've been working the short con. I guess one of the marks put in a beef. I took some small-town suckers for a couple of touches. Everybody does it. It's practically legit.
Well, the bus is going to get in awful early in the morning. We've got to find rooms and everything.
Listen, don't bother about that, kid. I think we'll be set, all right.
Where?
I got a friend in Chicago. We used to work together a lot. He'll find a spot for us.
Oh, all right.
His name is Fatso.
That's a funny name.
Yeah, well, it fits. He's not what you'd call good-looking.
Gee, I don't think I can hold my head up anymore, Ralph.
Yeah, we'll go to sleep then.
Can I lean on your shoulder?
Lean on the pillow they give you. My shoulder's not a pillow.
All right. Night. Wake me up when we get to Chicago.
Yeah, I will. You can count on it.
What else can I do, Ralph, except get a job?
Look, Josie, don't bother me with your problems, will you? Fatso invited us here to have a drink, not to listen to your troubles. Isn't that right, Fatso?
She's got a point, Ralph. If she don't work, how are we going to pay the rent? And look, there ain't even much left in the bottle. That's as important as rent.
We'll manage. Don't worry about that. We'll manage.
We sure managed fine so far, didn't we? Took all my money out of the bank. It's not even a week yet, and tomorrow there won't be a cent left.
What are you complaining? Listen, if you're complaining, you can get on the bus and go back to the show.
I'm not complaining, Ralph. You know I'm not. I'm just worried, that's all.
You and me both.
Well, who'd figure that Fatso was in such a spot and strapped for dough like me? I thought he'd be in good shape.
I've been having a rough year, Ralph. I've been sick.
Well, if I want that dice job, I better call him then.
Well, go on. Call him then.
There's a phone under the stairs.
All right.
I'll pour you another drink in the meanwhile.
No, don't do that. I don't want any.
I'm going to pour one for myself. She's an awful pretty girl, Ralph.
She'll do.
You ought to be nice to her. It's good to have somebody that likes you. You treat them right, and they keep liking you.
What do you know about women?
I know if I had one like that, I'd treat her right. Giving her last money, too.
All right, it's a shame she's got no more. Now, listen, are you interested in this deal I was telling you about or not?
Where'd you hear about it anyway? In the Army?
No, since I left, since I went with the show.
Look, I don't mind traveling and all that. But you got to be sure the old man's got all that money in the house.
I can be sure of it. Some guy drank beer with in town. He worked for him. Spent the whole night talking about him. He's got a safe in the wall of his living room.
Yeah, but has he got dough in it?
Yeah, he's got dough in it.
How old is he anyway?
He's over 60. Way over 60.
I guess he won't be much trouble.
No trouble at all. We leave Chicago in the afternoon, just in time to get to the old man's house at midnight. We do our business. We turn right around. We come back. Nobody even knows we're out of Chicago.
Nobody but Josie.
Josie is coming with us.
On the job?
On the job.
You're not going to tell her what you got in mind. She wouldn't like it.
She wakes up and finds herself part of the deal. She'll have to like it.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. Marcus Whitman, frontier doctor, will be the real-life hero of tomorrow night's Radio Hall of Fame. Lionel Barrymore, your host, tells the story of this pioneer Oregonian who risked his life to help America open the Pacific Northwest to settlement. Lionel Barrymore will have the aid of a top Hollywood cast in the Radio Hall of Fame's outstanding production, Marcus Whitman, Frontier Doctor, tomorrow evening on most of these same CBS radio stations. And now back to Gangbusters and Lieutenant Colonel Moore.
Well, as the 5th Army Criminal Investigation Detachment of the military police sought information leading to the whereabouts of an Army deserter who had also been accused of burglary on a military reservation, the fugitive, in company of his friend and the girl Josie, left Chicago for the small Nebraska city, intent upon robbing an elderly resident. Shortly after midnight, the stolen car in which they had driven from Chicago pulled up in front of the spacious Victorian residence where their intended victim lived all alone.
What a casa.
Ralph, I'm afraid. I don't want to do it.
What's there to be afraid of?
I never did anything like this before. I never stole a thing in my life.
Well, this is a good time as any to start. Go on, get out.
It seems so off.
That's an awful big house, Ralph. You don't think he's got boarders or anything?
He's got nothing except dough. Now, come on.
Dogs. You think he's got dogs? I'm scared to death of dogs.
He's got no dogs.
Only money.
Yeah, you said it, baby. Only money. And he won't have that long.
Maybe he's not home. There's not a light anyplace.
He never goes anywhere. He's asleep. All right, hold it here. Now, we'll stay out of sight here, Josie. Go to it.
Well, can't...
Go on, will you?
All right.
That's a good girl.
All right, get down.
I'm down.
Go on, push the bell.
There it is.
Again.
There. There goes the light in the bedroom.
All right, quiet.
I'm quiet.
Take him a couple of seconds to get downstairs.
Yes? What do you want?
Excuse me, I got a flat on my car. Could I use your phone?
Do you have to wake me up in the middle of the night?
Well, I couldn't help it if I had a flat. Please?
All right, just a second.
I'm awfully sorry, but I really didn't know what to do.
Well, as long as you woke me up, come on in.
All right, let's go. Out of the way, honey.
Hey, what's that?
Watch the door. Get away from that, Swanson.
No, no, let me go. Let me go.
Hold him.
Let me go.
I got him. All right, honey, shut the door.
Yeah.
Let me go, will you? Let me go.
Hold still, old
timer. All right, baby, turn on that light.
Please.
Turn on the light, will you?
All right.
Let me go, will you?
Go on, old-timer. Get in there. In the living room. Go on.
All right, that's far enough.
What do you want?
What are you asking foolish questions for, Mr. Swanson? You know what we want. Money. All of it. Now, sit down there.
I got no money here.
Didn't you hear him? He said, sit down.
Baby?
Yes?
Turn on some lamps in here, will you? It should be a little more cheerful in here.
Yeah, to say the least.
All right.
Yeah, Mrs. Swanson, money. All the money you got.
I've got none here.
How's that? You want some more light?
No, that's enough. Find a seat someplace and stay out of the way. That's so?
Yeah.
See that picture of the ocean breezes on the wall there?
Yeah.
We'll take it down.
This picture here?
Yeah, that's the picture. Take it down.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Shut up, Mr. Swanson.
Hey, look at this. A safe. A safe right in the wall.
Come here, Fatso.
Huh? That thing shouldn't be too much trouble.
No, we won't give us much trouble if Mr. Swanson don't give us much trouble. What's the combination, Mr. Swanson? What's the matter? Can't you hear me when I talk to you? What's the combination? What is the combination?
Ralph, wait a minute.
Go on back there and sit.
No, please, Ralph, don't do that anymore.
How are we going to get him to open the safe if we don't?
Let me try.
Go ahead. It'll be such a wonder.
Look, Mr. Swanson, what's the use of getting yourself hurt, huh? I didn't know it was going to be anything like this or I wouldn't have come along. Now tell him what the combination is. I don't want to see you get hurt.
What are you doing here? You're just as bad as them.
Don't talk like that to the lady.
Oh, don't!
Hey, go off me, will you?
All right, let him go.
Please don't hurt him.
Honest, how can a guy work with all this interference?
Honey, go over in the other room. Keep a sharp look out of the window. Watch for any cars stopping in front.
Yeah, but
go on, will you?
All right, but don't hurt him.
That's right, through there.
Please don't hurt him.
All right, now, Mr. Swanson. No.
Let him go.
You want the combination, don't you?
You let him go. All right, now, Mr. Swanson, how about it?
I won't tell you.
You see, Ralph?
I'm going to show you something, Mr. Swanson. I'm going to show you this.
What'd you need a gun for?
Just get your hands away.
Sit down there. And stay there.
What are you going to do?
What's the combination?
No. You wouldn't kill me.
Let's see how close I can come.
No. No.
Feel that whiz by your ear, Mr. Swanson? Now, what's the combination?
Well, what is it?
Well, let's whiz one by the other ear. Now, what's the combination, Mr. Swanson?
No.
He didn't shoot him.
No, we didn't shoot him. Get back in there. Will you go back in there?
What's the matter with her, anyway?
Listen to me, Mrs. Swanson. I'm tired of messing around. What is the combination? What is it?
Go on,
come on, come on, what is it? Go on, what is it? What is it?
Hey, take it easy. You'll kill him.
That's your life. I'll kill him.
You
can't toy with me.
Watch it, watch it. Uh-oh. I think that done it.
Mrs. Swanson. Come on, Mr. Swanson. Quit stalling.
You ask me, Ralph. I think they'd really done
it. Who's asking you?
After all, he ain't no youngster.
All right, what are you worried about?
If you were going to kill him, you should have waited until we got the combination.
You'll open the safe without the combination.
How? Tell me how.
Would you look for some tools? And go to work on the safe while Josie and I see what else is around this house.
Angel Landry.
Mrs. Corporal Luckner, sir. Sergeant Ellis is calling in from Ames, Iowa.
Oh, good. Put him on.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Hello, sir.
Yes, Sergeant?
I caught up at the carnival in Keokuk, and I've been following them around for a couple of days.
Good. What'd you find out?
Well, nobody's heard from Ralph Hale, but there was a girl with the show. Josie McAllister is the name she was working under.
Yeah?
She left without notice the night Hale ran out.
They think she might be with Hale?
Oh, I'd say she could be, sir. One of her friends here had a postcard from this Josie. She's working as a dice girl in some tavern there in Chicago.
Where in Chicago?
I got the postcard, Major. It doesn't say what tavern, just Chicago.
All right, that's better than nothing. We'll see what we can do with it.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
How about it? Can we stop at the next joint for a sandwich or something?
The idea is not to stop for a sandwich. The idea is just to get back to Chicago as fast as we can. Let's get some speed out of this thing and put in some miles before it gets daylight.
Ralph, how could you kill him? How could you do such a thing?
Look, Josie, let's not go over that again. It was an accident. He fell.
Oh, the poor old guy.
What did she say?
You just take care of the driving up there, Fatso. I'll take care of the conversation back here. Now listen, you get one thing through your head, Josie. You're in this just as much as we are.
I didn't want to come along.
No, but you did. You helped. The best thing for you to do is to forget it, go about your business, and keep your mouth shut.
Just to kill a guy like that and for nothing, practically.
All right, so we couldn't get the safe open. Had $100 in cash in his pocket. It's better than nothing.
Kill a man for $100.
That's what you think. But Josie, look.
What's that? Oh, my.
Shut up. That's what I don't know about it. I found it upstairs. It's 2 carats, at least.
Hey, what's all the whispering?
Oh, and your sweet talk nothings to your girlfriend. You don't shout, do you?
Oh.
When we get to Chicago, you go back to your job, Josie. And you wait and see. Things are going to be just ducky.
Thus, the search was concentrated in Chicago. Every available military police investigator was used in the attempt to track down the girl Josie, who was known to be working as a dice girl in a Chicago tavern. Meanwhile, the robbery and homicide had not been tied to the former carnival worker and army deserter. The aid of Chicago detectives was requested in the hunt for the dice girl. But a week passed, and the investigators still were not able to locate her.
Come on, 80 cases.
And 3 is 22. You want to try again?
Yeah, sure, why not? Gotta win sometime, don't I? Josie?
If you keep trying long enough.
That's your name, Josie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my name.
Nice name.
Roll the dice, mister. I'm not here to carry on conversations.
Neither am I.
Hey, Josie, I got to talk to you.
I'm busy now, Frank.
I don't care how busy you are. I got to talk to you.
Later.
Where's Ralph? Is he coming here?
I don't know where Ralph is. Go on, roll, mister.
Yeah.
Did Ralph bring a ring from Nebraska?
A ring? I don't know.
He did, didn't he? And you two didn't say nothing.
I don't know, Fatso. Now, please, I'm busy.
Okay, you're busy. I'm busy, too. I'm telling you something. You two better show up at my place after you get finished tonight. I want to get this settled, and I want to get it settled good.
Fatso, I got a customer. Excuse it, mister.
Oh, I love fights.
I heard from sources that Ralph got a ring. I want my part of that. If I don't get it, there'll be trouble, real trouble. Now, both of you, show up tonight. I'll see you later.
He's mad.
Yeah, I guess he has a right to be. Well, go on, roll, mister.
No, I think I've had enough. Here, this squares us, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so long, Josie.
Call again, mister.
That's a girl, all right, Major.
Good.
They're going to meet Ralph later. She and that guy, Fatso his name is. They were arguing about a ring.
Were they?
Yes, sir. That part didn't make sense to me.
We'll try to make sense out of it. Now, let's see where that fellow Fatso goes. And see if the girl and Ralph keep that date.
Well, if you don't intend to give him his share, Ralph, why are you coming to see him? That's what I don't understand.
You don't understand a lot of things, Josie. All right, go on in.
He's entitled to it, you know.
He's entitled to what I want to give him.
Ralph, listen to me. Why make trouble for yourself? Aren't you involved enough now? Give him what he's got coming to him.
Go on, get upstairs.
All right.
And I don't want to hear any more out of you either. I can ship you back to that carnival so fast your head'll spin.
Oh, no, you won't.
Now, you listen to me, baby. Don't you backtalk me. You're in this thing just as much as anybody. You can get just as much as me, so remember that. If I say back to the show, you go and no arguments. Now, get upstairs.
All right. Have to shove me.
You and Fatso have got to learn to take what you get and be happy with it.
What about my $250?
You'll get it when I feel like giving it to you. And I don't feel like it yet.
Yeah.
Come on, Fatso, open up. You know who it is.
Yeah. Okay, Ralph.
All right, come on. Now, listen, Fatso.
All right, Ralph, stand still.
Oh,
military police. Hold it.
Not me. Watch him. There he goes.
I got him on his head.
You just think you have him there. Let me go.
Watch
him there. Gotta let me go.
Sir, you rotten. You're in. Go in any place else.
No.
No. No place at all.
Everything okay, sir?
I got no complaints, Sergeant. No complaints at all.
And that was how this Army fugitive was taken by criminal investigators of the Military Police Corps. Subsequently, his connection with the Nebraska homicide came to light. Following a court-martial and a dishonorable discharge from the Army, he was turned over to the Nebraska authorities to be tried with his Confederates on a charge of murder. They were found guilty and received appropriate sentences under the law. This incident shows that any crime is of concern to all enforcement officials and to all citizens. Neither the military police nor the civilian law enforcement officials can prevent or solve all crimes without the assistance of the other. Tonight we are observing the 12th anniversary of the Military Police Corps. The attainment of this milestone has been greatly enhanced by the aid of your local police. This sentiment is extended to the police of most foreign countries, who in these days of uneasy peace work hand in glove with us. On behalf of the Provost Marshal General and every military policeman throughout the world, I want to thank Gangbusters for this opportunity to show you how your Army works for you in peace as they do in war.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Harley Moore, Chief of Operations from the Office of the Provost Marshal General, United States Army. Now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week as a public service to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention, all citizens. Watch for this man, Herbert Paul Jenkins, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution for murder. His official description:
Herbert Paul Jenkins, age 51, height 5 feet 9 inches, 170 to 190 pounds, medium build, brown hair, blue eyes, fair complexion, may seek work as farmer, mechanic, steel, or shipyard worker. He has the tattoo Inez below left elbow, has oblique scar above inner corner of right eyebrow, a small oblique scar below nose, an irregular scar below left side of jaw, and a 1 1/2 inch scar on inner right forearm. He has a furrow between his eyes.
Caution, Jenkins may be armed and should be considered extremely dangerous. Watch for him. Attention, all citizens. Watch for George Lester Bellew, wanted by the FBI for interstate transportation of stolen property. His official description:
George Lester Bellew, age 39, 5 feet 9 inches, 160 to 70 pounds, medium build, dark brown hair, brown eyes, medium complexion. May seek work as a nurse, clerk, or artist.
This man has a scar on bridge of his nose, on his lower right arm, a tattoo of a heart pierced with a dagger, and the words, death before dishonor.
Caution, Bellew may be armed and should be considered dangerous. If you have any information concerning these fugitives, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Bob Reddick, Juan O. Hernandez, and Terry Keane in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Gaylord Avery speaking. Next week, same time, same CBS station, to amazing facts in The Case of the Soda Fountain Pigeon on Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord. With Harry Lillis Crosby, Freeman Gosden, and Charles Correll checking in on CBS Radio tomorrow night, we're happy to remind you that from now on, they'll be keeping company Sunday nights with our man, Benny Kubelski. Or, looking at it another way, with the Bing Crosby Show and Amos and Andy returning to most of these stations tomorrow night, they'll be heard the same evening as Jack Benny. It's all yours tomorrow evening with the rest of our Sunday Fun Day lineup presented by CBS Radio. And remember, America's 45 million radio families listen most to the CBS Radio Network.